We're going to be focusing tonight on verses 22 and verses 23, 22 and 23 tonight of Colossians chapter 1. If you go back up to verse 21, we covered this verse last week, but let's look back at it. Paul said, "And you," so we've all got a part in God's great plan to reconcile the earth and the heavens. "And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." So if I am alienated from God and I'm an enemy of God, as the Bible says, because of my sin, the way of peace has to be made if I'm going to have any hope. But here's the problem. Can I help myself? Yes or no? Can't help myself. I mean, the Bible says I'm dead in my sins. So how is a person that's dead in their sins going to carve out a way of peace with God? How am I going to carve out a peace plan with God if I'm dead in my sins? There's no way. So there has to be, in your handout, a mediator. Someone has to go to bat for me. That's a mediator. Somebody's got to go to bat for me. Somebody has to initiate a way of peace. I can't help myself. Somebody's going to have to initiate for me a way of peace. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Look with me at 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 in your handout. It's actually in your handout there. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men." Who is that mediator, church? The man Christ Jesus. And then notice the peace plan, okay? "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I could not reconcile myself to God. I could not somehow come up with a way of peace, nor could you. But aren't you thankful Jesus Christ took the initiative? Okay, you know, sometimes you'll hear religious systems that will, they'll talk about the fact that, that we can't seek God, and that you have to be chosen and he has to come and seek you out. And because if God has to take the first step, because, you know, you're dead in your sins, so you have to be one of the elect, you have to be one of the chosen, and then God has to come and initiate it. You know what? Here's the deal. He already initiated it 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. He already took the first step. God already initiated the peace plan. He already carved it out. He already did it. And that's when Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He gave himself a ransom. Look what the handout says there. 1 Timothy 5, 6 says, "He gave himself a ransom for" who? All. He already took the initiative on behalf of mankind. See, that's the, by the way, verse 4 up there in that same chapter says, "God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Why? Because Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Now, Jesus Christ, would you agree with me that Jesus Christ made it possible for every man to be reconciled to God? Yes or no? Okay. But how? There's got to be some righteous, just way for this to happen. God just can't arbitrarily say, "Oh, I'm going to reconcile Rich. You know, I like the way he looks. I'm going to reconcile him. You know, and I'm not going to reconcile Larry. I don't like the way he looks. God has to have a righteous and just way for us who are wicked. Bible says we've been alienated by wicked works. There's got to be a just way for him to reconcile us. Well, if you will look with me at verse Colossians 1:22, okay, he's going to show you how you were reconciled. If you are reconciled tonight, here's how it happened. Verse 22. "In the body of his flesh through" what? Death. Now, I want you to notice two words there. I want you to notice the word body and the word flesh. God's making a point here. What's the point? In your handout, here it is. Christ took our humanity on himself. He told the Father, "A body thou hast prepared me," in Hebrews 10:5. "A body thou hast prepared me." Jesus Christ took our humanity. He took our sins in his own body on the tree. He took a body and flesh. In the body of his flesh, through how were you reconciled? In the body of his flesh through death. You see, when Christ took on our flesh, when he took on human flesh and blood, when he took on a body there in Bethlehem, was he still God, yes or no? Yeah, you can't change who you are. Okay, he is God, and you can't change who you are. So taking on flesh and blood doesn't change who he is. He's still God. Okay, I mean, you know what? I could come in here tonight. I could have come in here with a mohawk, but am I still Dan Proctor? Yeah. Y'all would love to see that too, wouldn't you? But you know what? I'm still Dan. You know what? He took on flesh and blood, but he was still God. But here's the difference. Now, not only is he God, but he's also what? Man. He's fully man, fully God. And you think about this. There is no other way for God to legally and justly be able to take care of your sin problem other than that. There's no other way. Because the wages of sin is what? Well, how is he going to die if he doesn't have a body? Spirits don't die. Angels don't die. Angels are spirit beings. They don't die. Only people with flesh and blood have the capability of dying. So therefore, he had to take on our body, our flesh, our blood. He took it on himself. Why? Well, it's the only way reconciliation could happen. Because here's what he did. He took on our flesh and blood, but then he chose to what? In your handout, get that. He chose to die in our place. And in your handout are a couple verses there. Romans 5, 6, and 8. Look at it with me. It says, for when we were yet without strength, we couldn't help ourselves. But notice, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How could he do that? There's only one way, in the body of his flesh. See, you can't die if you don't have a body and flesh. Now look again at verse 22. How did we get reconciled? Look at the end of verse 21. Look at it. The end of verse 21 says, yet now hath he reconciled. So here we are, we're reconciled. But then verse 22 tells you how it happened. In the body of his flesh through death. Look up at verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his what? Cross. You see, he accomplished all of this. He made the way of reconciliation. He accomplished it in the body of his flesh through death. He had to die because sin must be paid for. You see, redemption from our sins isn't some mystical thing, you know, that is like some spiritual thing, mystical thing. No, what I want you to see, redemption is something real. And it took place in time. And history, in Christ's flesh and blood. It happened in time and history. There was a time in history when the Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh, took every one of our sins and he paid the price for those sins. That's what makes salvation from our sins possible, is the cross. The cross. Now, does God have any other way of dealing with sin other than the cross? Sure? Boy, it got a little weaker there. Is there any other way to deal with sin other than the cross? No. In your handout it says, enemies of God can only be reconciled to God one way. In the body of Christ's flesh through death. That's what the verse says. There's no plan B. No plan B. Okay? There's no plan B. What Christ did was enough. Aren't you glad for that? Tonight we sang that song, Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Aren't you glad he didn't leave anything undone? Praise the Lord. Man, if it had to be his death plus something on my part, don't you know I'd mess it up? I'm so glad he did it all. I'm so glad he paid sin's price in full. Now, let's get into some good stuff here. We got that taken care of. We understand the peace plan. We understand the reconciliation. We understand that it happens in the body of his flesh through death. There's no plan B. But now let's get into some good stuff here, okay? We're going to get into some really neat things. Because you know what we're going to look at now? We're going to look at God's purpose in reconciliation. Why did he reconcile you? Why did he do it? What was the purpose? Do you believe that God does things haphazardly without a purpose? Yes or no? No. Do you think God has a purpose in reconciliation? Yes or no? Yes, he does. God has a purpose. You say, what is it? Look at the end of the verse there. The end of verse 22. It says, in the body of his flesh, through death. Now look at this. To present you. Everybody say those three words with me. To present you. To present you. So there's a goal here. Listen to me. There's a goal in reconciliation. There's a goal here in reconciliation. The word reconcile, if you look it up, it means to change thoroughly from. Changes from what? So if God reconciles me, and that word means he wants to change me thoroughly. Change me from what? Well, look in the context. Look back up at verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, by what kind of works? Now go over to Ephesians 2 real quick. Okay, go keep your bookmarker here. Just go to the left a couple books. And go back to Ephesians 2. Let's look at verse 10. I want to show you something here. Look at Ephesians 2:10. Okay? It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's that reconciliation. So I'm reconciled. I'm created in Christ Jesus unto what? Wait a minute. The Bible says I was alienated by what? Come on, talk to me. I'm alienated by wicked works, but now I'm reconciled, and I've been reconciled and created to something new so that now I can do what? Good works. Do y'all see that? Say amen. Amen. Now, look in your handout again here. Titus 2:14. It's at the very bottom of your handout. It says that Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's that reconciliation. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Now, I want you to get a statement in your handout. God's purpose in reconciliation is to change our wicked works into what, church? Good works, good and holy works. Now that's what the end of verse 22 is dealing with. Go back to Colossians 1. Come on now, let's stay focused and let's really keep our minds geared in here. Look at Colossians 1:22. In the body of his flesh through death, now notice, to present you. Well, wait a minute. It sure doesn't look like wicked works here. It says here he wants to present me holy and unblameable and unreprovable. And then what's the last three words there? That's really important right there. In his sight. When are we going to stand in his sight? There you go. We are going to, every single person in the body of Christ that's been reconciled, one day we are going to be presented before Christ at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. And that's what it is talking about when it says in his sight. That's speaking of the judgment seat. Now, let me show you some neat stuff here. I just got the biggest blessing studying this out. And if you'll stay with me, I know this will bless your heart. I want you to look in your handout and look at Romans 14:10 in your handout. It said, but it says here, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall, now notice this, for we shall all what? Stand before what? Okay, you ready for this nugget? The same word that's used in Colossians 1:22, that he died and he reconciled you, and then it says that the goal is to present you. Same Greek word as stand before in this Romans 14:10. The exact same Greek word. They just translated in English a little different in those places. Same Greek word. To present you. Stand before. That means, look up here, that means all of us in here that are saved and been reconciled, we've got a presentation day before Jesus Christ. We are all going to stand before. We're going to all be presented before Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's that all about? In your handout, it says, this will be where each of us will be held accountable for what we have done with the new life that we have received in Christ. You and I are going to be presented. We're going to have a presentation day, Brother Rich. And there we'll be presented in His sight. And there we will be held accountable for the new life that He gave us in Christ. And then what you say, what will we be held accountable for? Well, what did you do with the new life He gave you? Did you invest in building up your inner man and in the things of God? Or did you just simply spend your years on earth investing in temporal, fleshly things of the earth? Did you spend your time and your energy just in fleshly amusement, fleshly pleasures, fleshly goals that really had nothing to do with the Lord? You see, we're going to all be held accountable. We're going to stand before, we're going to be presented before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you know, and here's the goal. Here's the goal. It's in your handout. Christ's goal in reconciliation, His goal in reconciling you. Remember, it was to take you from wicked works to what? Good works. So look at your handout. Christ's goal in reconciliation is to one day present you as a fully mature believer who lived a holy and acceptable life on earth. Now, the only way for you to stand approved before God one day. Now, I want you to think, some of you Bible scholars in here. When I use the phrase to stand approved unto God, what verse do you think of? Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. You ready for another nugget? You guys are ready, aren't you? You guys are getting all kinds of chicken nuggets tonight, amen? Listen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Here's the nugget. When he says study to show thyself, same Greek word as present in Colossians 1:22. Same Greek word. Same Greek word as Romans 14:10, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So I hope you see where we're going with this. The only way for you to stand approved, the Bible says, is to study God's Word and then let God's Word change you. Romans 12:1, another little nugget. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. Present, same word. It's Colossians 1:22. Same Greek word, present. Let me ask you a question. According to what we've just studied then and what we've just learned, will every believer who's ever been saved in the body of Christ, will every single believer stand approved at the judgment seat of Christ? Really? What if I didn't study the Word? What if I didn't let it change me? Judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with what you did with the new life He gave you in Christ. Is everyone a good steward of the new life they have in Christ? Then is everyone going to stand approved? Study to show thyself approved unto God. So then can I live my life in a way that's not approved? Is everyone at the judgment seat of Christ going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? No, because is everyone faithful? No. Look in your handout and I'll show you. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Okay, it's in your handout. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire, speaking of the fire of God's judgment, is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. He's writing to Christians now. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? So will there be rewards given at the judgment seat of Christ? Yes. If any man's work shall be what? Burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? What's the context? Loss of what? Reward. Do I lose my salvation? No, I lose my rewards. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let me ask the question again. Will every believer stand approved at the judgment seat of Christ? No. Some people are going to stand there and they invested in nothing but earthly stuff. They weren't one bit interested in the things of God, building up their inner man. Oh, they may have came to church. You know, they may have came to church and they may have done something here or there, but they really did nothing to invest in their inner man. And the Bible says their works will all be burned up. And you know what? You know how they're going to stand? Not approved. There are some people that are going to stand reproved at the judgment seat of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'll show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are going to be some people who will be reproved. Remember, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It means we're going to be presented. We're all going to have a presentation day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now, it's interesting there. He says we're going to receive the things done in his body. That's interesting, because what's in your body? What's in your body, the Bible says, is the treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You've got Christ living in your spirit. So you have your spirit inside your body. What have you done? What are you doing to build up your inner man? What are you doing to build up the inner man? Or are you just investing in the things of the flesh and in the outer man? We're going to receive proportionately to how faithful we have been to study the Word of God, let it get inside of us, in our body, in our inner man, and then change us. And some will be reproved. Some will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, the idea of this future presentation day was really important to Paul. He really desired for his converts to be brought to full maturity. Why? So that they could be presented acceptable at the judgment seat of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians 11, since we're right there, and we'll walk through a couple verses here. This thing of a future presentation day was really important to Paul. And that's why he was so concerned with building up people in their spirit, in their inner man. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you. There's that presentation again. Notice how Paul had a goal in mind. I want to be able to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Go with me over to Colossians. Go back to our text, Colossians 1. And notice the end here. Colossians 1, verse 28. Notice what Paul says here. Notice the context of chapter 1. Notice how he closes off the chapter. Whom we preach, Christ is who we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why was he teaching people? Look at the verse. Why was Paul totally given over to this thing of teaching people? that we may, there it is again, what? Present every man, what? That means fully mature. Perfect, fully mature in Christ Jesus. Paul was so concerned about that. The idea of a future presentation day was so important. He wanted his converts to be brought to full maturity so they could be presented acceptable before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, go back to verse 22. And you guys are doing great. Stay with me here. It says here, how are we reconciled? Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death. That's how the reconciliation happened. But what's the future goal of it? Okay? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now look up here. The issue in this verse is not sin. Okay? It's not the idea that at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be punished for your sin. No, Christ took your punishment for you on the cross. The judgment seat of Christ, remember, sin is dealt with and taken care of by the cross the moment you're saved. In your handout, it says the issue at our presentation day will be our faithfulness. The issue will be our faithfulness. Were you faithful to continue in the faith? Were you faithful to study God's Word and grow and mature in Christ? Were you faithful to look for Christ's coming and to live in anticipation of it? Now look, God's Holy Spirit is working in you so that you will spiritually mature, be perfected. And then your spiritual maturity will demonstrate itself in good works. And Hebrews 13:21 says that you may be well-pleasing in His sight. Same words as we see here. You see, the context, as we're going to see in verse 23 here, is this is the context. He's dealing with the future presentation day at the judgment seat. You see, there are some people who believe that verse 22 is dealing with our current state, okay? And that in God's eyes, that we're holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. And that they think that has to do with our eternal standing. That's not what Paul's talking about. What Paul's talking about in this text is, here's what you were before reconciliation. Wicked works. Now, you've been reconciled through this cross work, through the death of his son. But there is a goal in it. And that goal is, a presentation day is coming. And the goal is that you may be presented as a fully mature believer, holy and unreprovable and unblameable. That is the goal. See, the idea here is that not every believer is going to be faithful. Not every believer is going to stand before the judgment seat as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. Some are going to be reproved. Some are going to be rebuked. They were not faithful. That's why you have the conditional article in verse 23. If. Now notice that you're going to be presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now look up here. That verse isn't dealing with salvation. He's already dealt with that. He already said that yet now hath He reconciled. The salvation issue was already settled. What He's dealing with now at the end of verse 22 and verse 23, He's dealing with our presentation day when we're going to be presented before the judgment seat of Christ. Look in your handout. It says, if we are to stand commended in Christ's sight one day, we must continue. That word continue means to tarry, to remain in the faith. What's the faith? That's the body of sound doctrine that Paul gave the church. So he says, I want you to remain faithful, true to that doctrine. Okay? Now look at your handout. The idea of continuing is to be faithful, growing in our faith and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's the idea there of continuing in the faith, that we're faithful, we're growing, we're rooted, we're grounded, we're maturing. Look with me back at Ephesians 4 in verse number 14. Go back two books, go to the left, two books. And the opposite of that would be in Ephesians 4 verse 14. Okay, this would be the opposite of what we're talking about. Okay, verse 14, Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children. Look at this. I'm not rooted and grounded. I'm tossed to and fro. and carried about with every wind of what? Doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait. He's writing to Christians. Can a Christian be tossed about and carried about with every wind of doctrine? You meet people like that all the time. Whatever the latest thing is they saw on TV or the latest book they read, you know, at the Christian bookstore, or whatever the latest thing is they heard on the radio, that's what they're carried around in. And Paul said that's not a mark of maturity. And Satan, what he was doing, see, Satan was actively trying to move the Colossians away from the truth of God's Word, away from what Paul had taught. And there was a lot of false teaching going on in the church at Colossae, trying to move people away. They heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. So Paul says, man, stick by the stuff. Don't be moved away from your completeness in Christ. Stay on the foundation. Don't be moved from the hope of the gospel. Man, what's the hope of the gospel? When he says, go back to Colossians 1, 23. And notice that we're going to be presented at our presentation day unreprovable if we continue in the faith grounded and settled. Okay, we're faithful. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What's the hope of the gospel? Well, look at the very end of verse 27. Christ in you, the what? There you go. In your handout, it says the hope of the gospel is Christ, and along with that, His return for us. Where he says, talks about the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Are there Christians, I'm going to ask you a question, are there people who know the Lord who allow Satan, or they allow their own fleshly lust to move them away from their hope? Yes or no? Is it possible as a believer for us to drift in our fellowship with Christ and really scarcely ever even think about His return? Is that possible? Yeah. So we're not continuing grounded and settled, are we, in the faith? We're walking by sight. We're walking according to fleshly lust. So what's going to happen? We're going to stand reproved at the judgment seat of Christ. But those who are faithful, not sinless. Any sinless folks in here tonight? No. What? There's a difference between faithfulness and sinlessness, isn't there? The Bible says that moreover it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. So in your handout there, it says those who are faithful, not sinless, they keep the faith, they live in anticipation of Christ's coming, they're going to stand approved and commended at the judgment seat of Christ and will receive eternal rewards. Look in your handout. 2 Timothy 4, I believe, is in there. 7 and 8, Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous, what? The righteous what? Yes. Calls Him the righteous judge. See, we're all going to appear, be presented before the judgment seat of Christ. But Paul was at the end of his life, he'd been faithful. And he said, the Lord the righteous judge is going to give me at that day, speaking of the judgment seat, and not to me only, but unto all them also that what? Love is appearing. In your handout it says that we're going to stand approved and commended and we'll receive eternal rewards. Now, let me end with this statement. It's the last statement in your handout. Well, first let me ask you a question. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you've put your faith in Him, are you reconciled to God? Present tense, right now. Yes. According to that verse, 21, yet now hath He reconciled. Am I waiting to be reconciled or am I already reconciled? Already. I already am. Okay? So, my reconciliation to God, is it an accomplished fact? Yes or no? Yes. In your handout, it says it is an accomplished fact. But let me ask you this question. How I'm going to be presented before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Is that already been established? Yes or no? Well, no, I'm still kicking, right, and breathing. That is dependent on our faithfulness here on earth. Okay? Pastor Larry, come here a moment. Before we go, I just want to use an illustration. Pastor Rich, if you could stand right here by Brother Steve Houghton. Come on up, guys, real quick. Okay? Pastor Rich represents Christ, all right? Pastor Larry got saved, and we know Pastor Larry loves the Lord, preaches the Word, and is a faithful pastor. Let's just say, though, okay, that Pastor Larry, 10 years from now, that he kind of leaves sound doctrine. He gets carried about with some wind of doctrine, and he kind of just isn't faithful anymore, and he quits preaching, quits, you know, trying to even seek God. And let me ask something. When he comes here and he stands before Jesus Christ, unless he repents and gets his heart right before he dies, if he dies and is not faithful, okay, is he reconciled to Christ, yes or no? Yes. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just trying to make you think. Is he reconciled?
Yes.
Will he stand approved before Christ at the judgment seat? No, he will not. He will be reproved. See, the Bible teaches at the judgment seat, there will be people approved, there will be people reproved. Paul said, my goal for you is, he said, I want you, now that you've been reconciled, he in the body of his flesh through death, you were reconciled through Christ's death, but there was a goal in it. There was a goal in reconciliation. And that is, I want you to be presented one day, that presentation day. I want you to be able to be presented holy and unreprovable in his sight. I want to bring you to spiritual maturity so I can present you perfect, mature in Christ Jesus, he said in verse 28. Now, the only way that's going to happen, he said, is if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and don't be moved away by these false teachers from the hope of the gospel, which is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't be moved away from that. You stay rooted and grounded on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So verse 23, sometimes you'll have people use that verse trying to tell you can lose your salvation. Oh, see there, if you don't continue, you're going to lose your salvation. No, the reconciliation is an accomplished fact. He's dealing with our presentation day at the end of verse 22 and verse 23. Are y'all with me on that? You understand? All right, that's kind of a controversial passage we covered tonight, and so I really wanted to take some time and make sure we dealt with that, okay? All right, thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you know that you have been reconciled to God? You say, oh yes, I'm a good person. No. That's not how you're reconciled. Oh yes, I've been reconciled to God. I go to church every Sunday. No, that's not how you're reconciled. There's only one way. There's only a plan A. There's not a plan B, C, D. The only plan is what Christ did. In the body of his flesh through death. That's the only way you can be reconciled, is to put your faith in what Christ did for you. And right now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you've never trusted Christ, right now in the privacy of your heart, you can trust him as your Savior. Right now, just let God know, I am trusting you, Jesus, and you alone to save me. I'm not trusting anything else. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting religion. I'm trusting you, Jesus, to save me from my sins right now. Just tell God that. Express that to the Lord right now. You're trusting him and him alone. The moment your heart rests upon Christ, you are reconciled to God. And that's an accomplished fact. The moment you trust Christ,